Hello and welcome to another one-on-one with myself, Peter Smith, and my guest here today, I should say in the Hotel Vanicek, which is in Prague 5, is Robert Patton, the grandson of General George Patton, of course very famous in this part of the world. Welcome.
Thank you very much. I've been welcomed everywhere I turn in the city, and I'm happy to be welcomed by you too. Thanks.
Let's just start off by saying you're here for the commemoration of liberation, not here in Prague, but more in Pilsen, where the U.S. forces were. You're actually younger than 56 years old. That being the case, what has made you want to get involved with writing about this? Is it strictly because the man was your grandfather, or was there an angle yourself which you would like to express about the events that happened?
You know, if I could, I was a journalist initially by trade and then a novelist. And I had always kept my grandfather's story and memory at arm's length because such a strong figure in one's family can threaten to squash your own identity. But once I became a bit established, either professionally or personally, I felt it was time to investigate this character. And in doing so, of course, it led me, among many other places, to Czech Republic and Pilsen and ultimately to Prague. And in writing the book about him, I learned of his exploits and learned of his, more importantly, his character. And so I came to it from a point of view of character and then discovered the historical figure later.
We come to the character of your grandfather. What have you actually discovered which has surprised you the most? Because, of course, we've seen the films, we've read articles, read books, but did you discover anything new which surprised you?
You know, I always tell people when they ask about the movie or the figure that we all understand to be Patton, which is the swashbuckling hero with the ivory-handled pistols, but I stress to people, and this was something I learned myself, is that this was a self-creation on his part, and if you look at him as a child, you'll find quite the contrary. You'll find an insecure child, you'll find someone that doubted himself at every turn, and sought at a very early age to create this persona, this warrior figure, and indeed did so at some cost, I think, psychologically, but at the same time, it was a very useful persona historically because he was able to perform a great function during the war. But I do, again, just to summarize, think of him as a self-creation, and this is something that he set about to construct.
So they say some people are born to be great, others have greatness thrust upon them. Which category do you think your grandfather fell into?
One needs an opportunity to be great, and whereas many people correctly hope that wars don't come their way, Patton prayed for war, quite literally, frankly, and this was a person that pursued greatness in a very calculated way from a very startlingly young age, 6, 7, 8 years old, forward, undeviating from one dream.
If we just stick with the actual events at the end of the war, one of the more controversial aspects was that your grandfather was quite opposed to stopping and not going on and taking Prague. Now, was that something which really angered him as much as we were led to believe?
He was not a very political animal, as we might say in the United States. He, of course, notoriously was anti-Russian, anti-Soviet, and believed, correctly as history proved it, that they were duplicitous in their intentions and had no plan of giving back any of the territory that they had overrun in their attack to the West. And he, again, correctly predicted that they ultimately would become a foe of the West. At the same time, he was psychologically very interested in keeping, I won't say war going, but action going. He was a man who needed to be engaged, and when one is engaged at that level of commitment in war, commanding that many people, I think he feared in a very personal way how his life would go without that kind of engagement. He, for political reasons, said, I want to continue to liberate, I want to continue to go west and go toward Berlin, toward Moscow, and yet also on a personal level he also needed it for his own state of well-being.
How well did that attitude go down in Washington, go down with the people actually at the top making the decisions?
His attitude of wanting to, in effect, prolong the war, or at least prolong hostilities, went down very poorly in America because they were all weary of war. Politically, he became an instant pariah because here was one man saying the war was not over. Americans had been fighting in Europe, and many, obviously, Europeans for even longer. They had had enough. They had beaten the Germans as they saw it. That was the mission, and it was accomplished. He was predicting more needs, a call for more sacrifice, and this was not something that anybody welcomed, and indeed they kind of mocked him for being so out of step with the national consciousness.
Well, there must be another side, of course, to your investigations, because, of course, you have your family to fall back on as well for a lot of information. What about the private man? Was there anything about his character that we might find surprising?
If you look at his writings, and here was a person who had a lot of learning disabilities that we understand now, dyslexia, who left 50 filing cabinets worth of diaries and journals. So this is an index of how well he overcame, through sheer willpower, this disability. That desire to overcome insecurities, self-doubt, worries about how fate would view him is what compelled him all his life. Men like that don't ever gain satisfaction. That is why, to some extent, at his dying bed, he died unsatisfied and fearing that he had failed in his mission on Earth.
He seemed to be a general which was able to inspire a lot of loyalty from his men. But did he base his command on fear in many ways, or was he a very intolerant man with the men he was commanding?
That's a very interesting question. I think that one of his quotes was that often military hierarchies seem to be based on loyalty from the bottom up. And he said, no, loyalty goes from the top down. And one of the things, when he first came over in 1942, he took a staff of what many people in the American military viewed as perhaps not the top tier officers. He said, no, I want the officers that will be loyal and that I can be loyal to and that we can continue through the entire campaign. He said, if I take the very best, within 6 months, they'll be plucked for other command jobs. So he was very attentive toward his staff and to keeping a sense of loyalty about him. Now, this doesn't say that he was not above lashing out and indeed relieving some officers under fire, which he was known to do, but he never did it lightly. And while he was a difficult and demanding man, and he had many flaws, and I could point out many, at the same time, I think one of his most attractive features was his loyalty to those below him, feeling that he appreciated what they did for him and he would do the same for them.
Well, there is a lot of appreciation of what your grandfather did here in this part of the world. Now, you've come back, you have your book, of course, and it's the 56th anniversary of liberation. Are you surprised when you come here at your reception?
I can't tell you, in going to Pilsen and in Brno, here in Prague, I'm quite struck with the idea that for 40-plus years of the communist regime, in which historical facts of the liberation of Czechoslovakia were suppressed, how it is so fresh. When I stand here as just a relative, I mean, I didn't lead the columns into these towns, and I'm the first to say that. Elderly people and their children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren come and seem to be very interested and touched to see me, and I'm happy just to represent myself and my family and my country to some extent as best I can, quite humbly. So I am quite moved at how this memory has been kept and is so now reborn in such an invigorating way.
You said he was proved right, but is there anything personally which you completely disagree with your grandfather on?
Well, I think the well-known scandals about his comportment twice in the Sicilian campaign, where he slapped subordinate soldiers, something for which he apologized immediately afterward, this would be cause for a court-martial today, and certainly in the American Army, and I imagine most armies across the world. So one by no means could condone any of that. You find a man like that so driven, sometimes there was a kind of egotism, which might make him a difficult character to sit in a room with. You know, if you and I were to be having a cup of coffee, we might think this Patton character is a bit hard to take, you know. But someone like that with, as we might say in America, that kind of motor in him going all the time, you take the good with the bad. And the bad, such as it was, is compulsion toward achievement, toward recognition and acclaim. And the good is what it took to get those things, the good that he did. While seeking for himself, certainly, he also happened to be a part of a great cause. And so we must take them both together in equal measure and be glad for the man's originality.
Robert Patton, thank you very much.
My pleasure, and I wish the best of luck to you.